Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. It is February 5th, 2019. And as you know, tonight is the great State of the Union address given by President Donald J. Trump. And I think a lot of people are lining up to say, what is he going to talk about? Is it going to be unity, consolidarity? One of the things we know for sure he's going to be talking about is the borders. And out of a CBN News report, here's what it says. We're going to have a strong border. Trump is sending 3,750 more troops to the border. And this is really what's in his heart. President Trump is preparing to deliver his second State of the Union address as negotiations continue in Congress to avoid another partial government shutdown. The address, which has been blocked and delayed by the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, is now to take place tonight. Reports indicate the president will focus his speech on unity in America, hoping to start bridging the divide between Republicans and Democrats as he engages on key issues such as immigration, health care, and national security. The speech calling for unity comes at a difficult time as Democrats are still saying no to granting money for a border wall. As a result, the president is considering declaring a national emergency that could enable him to build the wall without approval from Congress. And he quoted, "I don't like to take things off the table. It's that alternative. It's national emergency. It's other things," Trump told CBS's Margaret Brennan in an interview. "We're going to have a strong border. And the only way you have a strong border is you need a physical barrier. In the meantime, the Trump administration has decided to increase border security efforts once again, sending 3,750 additional troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. With caravans marching through Mexico and toward our country, Republicans must be prepared to do whatever is necessary for strong border security," President Trump tweeted. His actual tweet was, "With caravans marching through Mexico and toward our country, Republicans must be prepared to do whatever is necessary for strong border security. Dems do nothing. If there is no wall, there is no security. Human trafficking, drugs, and criminals of all dimensions, keep out." Trump also tweeted about the increased troop support, stating they will stop the large caravans of illegal immigrants entering. Here's the tweet. He said, "More troops being sent to the southern border to stop the attempted invasion of illegals through large caravans into our country. We have stopped the previous caravans, and we will stop these also. With a wall, it would be so much easier and less expensive being built. So CBS News reported the increase in troops will cost over $600 million by the end of the fiscal year. That means efforts to improve border security will reach nearly $1 billion since active duty troops arrived there in October. Trump wants Congress to approve $5.7 billion for a southern border wall, which would eliminate the need for active duty military at the border. Progressives are criticizing the president, accusing him of exploiting border security concerns for his political agenda. If the two parties are not able to reach an agreement, Trump has said the government will shut down again, or he will declare a national emergency. Legal challenges are expected to follow if the president takes that step. So again, the non-ending debate, the border wall controversy that's going on, it will be a huge part of the State of the Union address tonight, I would imagine. The call for unity is basically a call for do it my way, or else we're going to do some things that are going to further create the division and the chasm, which is already huge within our nation. I think everybody knows that. And I just wonder what those radical Islamic terror cells are thinking today, those sleeper cells throughout the nation, all those individuals who have blended into our society and have become our neighbors that we have barbecues with and we do carpooling with and we go to work with. And you know, in the communist revolution many, many years ago, that was part of the 10 planks of communism, is that the people, the communists, had to blend into every fabric of society. They had to become like to destroy. And so I know that there's a tremendous and a terrific amount of potential destructive forces within our nation that these times right now are very interesting, very interesting. And we'll see what happens tonight. So it will begin, I believe, at 9 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock Central time, the State of the Union address. And, you know, maybe there'll be more people tuning into that than the NFL Super Bowl, which lost, I believe, 100 million viewers. I forget what the number was, but I know that there's been a continual decrease of people watching sport, particularly football, because of the Kaepernick issue that went on there. So all the things that once made America great, which was what? Hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. They seem to be waning, waning, waning. So time will tell what's going on there. Another issue in the news block of our program this morning is very sad. The Democrat blocks the Senate bill that would prevent infanticide to protect babies who survive abortion. Well, on Monday, yesterday, Senator Patty Murray, who's a Democrat, blocked a Republican-led bill that would have required doctors to care for babies who are born alive after surviving a failed abortion attempt. Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican, requested a unanimous consent vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, saying, "In this country, all of us are created equal. If that equality means anything, surely it means that infanticide is wrong. Frankly, this shouldn't be hard." However, Murray objected to the bill, saying there are already laws against infanticide and accusing Sasse of misrepresenting the purpose of the measure. According to the rules of the Senate, Murray's single objection was enough to keep the unanimous consent bill from passing. Senator Sasse requested the unanimous consent vote last week after Virginia Democratic Governor Ralph Northam suggested that some babies should be allowed to die right after they're born or would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. Well, Sasse's bill would have built on the 2002 Born Alive Infants Protection Act, which said that every infant member of the species, Homo sapiens, who is born alive at any stage of development is recognized as a person under federal law. That law clarified that babies who survive abortions were supposed to receive protections, Sassy's bill goes even further and clarifies what level of life-saving care doctors are supposed to give. And he quoted, "Any healthcare practitioner present at the time the child is born alive shall exercise the same degree of professional skill, care, and diligence to preserve the life and health of the child as a reasonably diligent and conscientious healthcare practitioner would render to any other child born alive at the same gestational age." The bill says, adding that babies who survive abortions should be immediately admitted to a hospital. Well, before Murray shot down the bill, Sassy urged the Senate to protect babies' lives, saying, "Just a few years ago, the abortion lobby was really clear in its talk about hoping abortion would be safe, legal, and rare. Now we're talking about keeping the baby comfortable while the doctors have a debate about infanticide. You're either for babies or you're defending infanticide. Please don't let Governor Northam define you." End of quote. Now, it's up to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to decide whether to force a roll call vote on the anti-infanticide bill in the future. Senator Joni Ernst, Republican from Iowa, grieved over the failed vote, saying this body can no longer unanimously condemn murder. "There is nothing great, there is nothing moral, or even humane about the discussion that we have before us today," said Ernst. "Over the past week, we have witnessed the absolutely ugly truth about the far-reaching grasp of the abortion industry and its increasingly radicalized political agenda. Politicians have not only defended aborting a child while a woman is in labor, but have gone so far as to support the termination of a child after his or her birth. A child, a baby, rationality, decency, and basic human compassion have fallen by the wayside." You know, this is one of those major arguments. This is quite frankly just confounding to anybody that has a mind left, anybody that has any form of compassion. I mean, the whole idea of abortion being made a political issue is such an offense to creation, to life itself, and to everybody that loves life and wants to cultivate an environment of life. I mean, the idea of murdering babies, and that there are people in our society that would allow for full-term abortion or full-term, a baby fully born. Remember, where does life begin? Not in a breath. Life begins in the blood. Remember that. It's a simple argument. It's clear, scientific. Life is in the blood. And so where you have a fetus of cells and tissue and blood, even though it's unformed, there's life in the blood. They're trying to suggest that there's no life until there's a smack on the bottom and there's a breath taken. That's not true. Life is in the blood. So we have mass murdered millions and millions and millions of babies. We've heard the numbers. We've been repelled by the numbers. And the idea that there are people within our society that are laboring to kill not just a fetus that is a life, but a fully born baby. Now, I've said it before, my little granddaughter, Athena Grace, she was born premature a couple of weeks, and she was about 3 pounds, and now she's just turning out to be a very beautiful. I can't imagine that there's a law that would allow for that little baby to be murdered at full term. Well, this is the implacable reality of our society and the leaders in our country. And you know, we keep looking at things from a political lens, and we're going, okay, well, now we're going to hope that the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, but then every state is basically getting on board with what New York did, so that if that federal law was passed, every state will have its own options so people can choose. Well, New York is an example that I don't believe the people chose, and if they did, shame on them. They deserve what they're about to get, I would imagine. And so when all the states are following in that course, they want to make it such that, well, we're never going to give up this right for women to choose what their body is. But we've got news again that that life in that woman's body is not her own. That is not her own. That's an extension of herself, and that is not the truth. And by the way, why does everybody absolutely have to wear seatbelts to protect us? And when there's no right to choose, but we have a right to choose to murder a baby in the womb. It's insane. It is a sick society, a hypocritical mindset. It is blasphemous at the core, because ultimately everything that's going on in this whole abortion idea that's happening in reality is against the creator of life. It's against God. So what do we do about it? I mean, to shout, to get angry, to scream, I do not believe is the right thing to do at this point. I think there's been a lot of shouting and screaming and yelling and anger about these things for over 44 years now. And rather than this going away, it seems to be amping up, and it's because of a fear that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe versus Wade. So what we need to hope for, if we're going to stay in that realm, is that a federal law would go forth and it would demand every state to become illegal to give abortions. I mean, if it's mandated upon every state to open their doors to homosexual marriages and these types of unions, well, you know, you have states. What state is there that doesn't do that? I don't think there is anything. It's a federally mandated law. So you can do the same thing in the opposite direction, and that's what you hope for, okay? That's what you hope for, that it becomes illegal, but you still have the blood of millions and millions of innocent babies on our hands. And so what can be expected, and what can we do? What if Roe versus Wade does not get overturned? Well, someone said that if Roe versus Wade is overthrown or overturned and a federal law goes forth, a revolution will break out, violence will break out. And I happen to believe that's true, because the left is that insane. We saw what the left did when the elections were taking place and Donald Trump was coming to office and power. We saw the reality of the left. They played their hand. And the left right now, the progressives, are playing their hand. They have exposed their hand. But there is a Trump card. And that Trump card is what we're all waiting to see is going to be. But while we're waiting, I have a sense in my heart that there are some homegrown parts of our society, some domestic people in our country that care very much about the mass murder of these innocent babies. And I would put a warning out there, just a warning to the capitals of New York and to the people that are passing laws like this. You may be very much targeted, and we may see some acceleration of things rapid. And tonight may be a trigger point in this State of the Union address. Time will tell once again. But I just have a sense that there are people that are tired of shouting, they're tired of being angry, they're tired of yelling and debating issues. And while these other people are wretchedly celebrating these types of decisions, I just have a feeling in my spirit, in my gut, that there's going to be a response, and it's not going to be pretty. And so I really do not see with a State of the Union address a coming together of the country. I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe that we have been sealed unto judgment. And while people are saying, well, when is there going to be, you know, we're going to be judged if we're not careful. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a gross misunderstanding of the very word and meaning of judgment that compels people to say such ignorant things. We're going to be judged if we're not careful. We're already under judgment. If we understood the three Greek words, the krema, the krino, the krisis, the three Greek words in the New Testament concerning judgment, they all have to do with separation. But that third word, krisis, is the English word crises. And if you haven't witnessed yet the crisis upon our nation since 9/11/2001, then you've been sound asleep. We've already been under judgment. The dangerous part of this moment is going from judgment, because judgment is always intended by God to turn a person or a nation back to God. God would send judgment. There would be many labor pains, many crises would hit the nation. It would be political. It would be financial. It would be in their military until they would not bow. They would not respond. Then God would send his wrath, whether it was through the Babylonian king or whoever it was, the Assyrians. God would send the rod of his anger. He would send his wrath against a people that refused to repent because the judgment that was already sent. America is under judgment. It is being judged. We have been weighed in the balance, and the only thing that would help this nation is repentance. Repentance would stave off the wrath, but there is no repentance. Look what the national leaders are doing. And so there's a battle up there because of the divide and the division. We'll see where it all goes. Is it a big hoax, a big game? Is it smoke and mirrors? Is it shadows? Well, I don't think so, because very real innocent babies are being murdered as we are speaking right now. So let's not be ignorant, okay, about we better be careful or God is going to judge us. Already judged. The condition of our nation is judged. There is a crisis looming over the nation. We have $22 trillion of debt. And then some people have said it's up near $100 trillion with the GDP or whatever it all, you know, means in the financial realm. But ladies and gentlemen, the divisions, you can't wear a red Trump hat, a MAGA hat, unless you're going to get beat up somewhere. We are already in a crisis. Look at our borders. Look at the fires. Look at the hurricanes. Look at all the earthquakes, the things that are going on globally around the world. And in this country, a centralized, pointed reality, something's wrong in America. And what is it? It's judgment. And yet we're not looking at these things and saying, God, we repent. We're gonna ask you to forgive us. We're gonna stop these homosexual marriages. We're gonna stop promoting the LGBTQ community ideas. We're gonna stop with the television programs that are blaspheming your name. We're gonna stop with the pornography on the internet and everywhere else. We're gonna stop the abortions. We're gonna repent. We're gonna turn away from these things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not gonna happen. So the inevitable reality is that the nation will be turned over to wrath. And when wrath is displayed, now that has nothing to do with the new covenant, okay? The new covenant is for believers who have been forgiven for their sins. They have confessed their sins, repented of their sins. They've entered into a covenant that God has made with the individual, and that is awesome, okay? And with the church, and it's something beautiful that people can access and enter into through their faith in Jesus Christ. But we're talking about a God who displays his wrath. And we can't think just because there's a new covenant that God doesn't have any wrath, that God doesn't have any anger. You'd have to read the book of Revelation and deny chapter 16 and everything else before it, but particularly the seven vials of the wrath of God that are going to be poured out upon the nations of the earth, or in Revelation chapter 6, where the wrath of the Lamb, and then, of course, we know there's the wrath of the dragon. So don't deny that God is a God of wrath, and he will pour out his wrath upon our nation, and he'll do it all over the world. And my God, when you begin to pour out wrath upon a great nation, even Babylon had the wrath of God poured out on them when the Medo-Persian Empire came and crushed them. And so this is where we are. We're in judgment. We're years down the road with judgment. And when we're this implacable and hardened, we can only expect the next phase to be turned over to the wrath of God. Now, how then are we who are in covenant with God to live? What are we to do? Okay, we don't want to shout, get angry, get mad, bite the microphone and all that stuff. It's not going to do a thing. It's not going to do a thing. What we do is we wait and pray for instructions. What should I do about this issue of abortion or homosexuality or pornography or blasphemy in Hollywood? So what am I supposed to do about it? Well, if there's nothing to do, then I'm living within the context of that environment. And like Lot, my righteous soul is vexed every day because I have to spend time grieving over these issues that are taking place. And that's how most Christians are living. They're grieved by what they're seeing. They're getting angry. They're forming groups. And yet there is the prayer movement, which is most powerful. And I agree with that for sure. But we should be praying the right way. And we need to be led by the Holy Spirit in our prayers as well. So what is it that God would call you and I to? Is it time to, to abandon the ship? Is it time to, give up the oars? Is it time to enter into the chamber and shut the door until the indignation be passed over? Is it time to head into the wilderness or into the mountains? Is it time? What time is it? What is God saying? Well, when it comes to time, I want to share with you a prophetic word. And again, when I write, I always write with giving God the primary place in the writing, which means this is God speaking. And so I gave God that honor, in that sense. I didn't give God honor. Listen, I didn't mean that at all. I gave God his rightful place in the way that I write. A lot of people write in a two-person conversation, and yet in the third person, this is God's message. And I believe it's true. Let's search it out. You be the judge. And here's what I hear the Lord saying. The shadow has shifted. The shadow has shifted. This is what the Lord says. The shadow has shifted. For 2,000 years, my church has been a shadow of things to come. But in this day, the shadow is being removed and the fullness of the substance is coming. When the sun is at your back, you see your shadow. But when the sun is at its fullness and it is at its highest peak, the shadows flee away. Even now, my son is coming to full strength in the nations, and all the shadows are beginning to flee. No more will my church be a shadow of things to come, but there shall be the fullness and the full revelation of who I am as I set my head upon her shoulders. For 2,000 years, a body has been in preparation, and now the time has come through apostolic order to bring this body to fullness and completion, even perfection. And as this body comes to perfection, the sun shall set upon the shoulders of that body, and there shall be a full display of the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even now, the shadow is shifting as the sun is positioning himself. What is my desire? That I may rest my head in this seventh day, even this day of rest. As this day has been prepared for a people to enter into, so it is my day wherein I may rest once again. As I rested on the seventh day 6,000 years ago, so I will rest in this seventh prophetic day, says the Lord. I have labored for 2,000 years to organize my body, and as I began that work in myself and consummated the ages to follow through apostolic, prophetic, and other bodybuilding ministries, so now I shall consummate this age by myself as the proper order and pattern of what I have designed comes to fruition. I will personally lay my head to rest upon a many-membered body of believers who are at this time spread out across the nations of the earth. Yet I will gather them together in this, the seventh day, which represents the seventh feast, that great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the Feast of Ingathering. It is the third day, and my word declares that it was on the third day of creation that I gathered together. And not only did I gather together, but I brought forth the harvest of the earth. I placed trees in the field that would bring forth after their kind. And so it is in this seventh and third day that I am gathering together a people who shall bring forth the exact likeness of who I am. Indeed, the shadow is shifting. The Lord says that it is time to gather the people together and have them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. It is time to declare to the people of God that it is not the miracle that is important, but the formation of a body. It is to put in order the spiritual material. The Lord says that most sickness is due to disorder. Many are sick and weak because they are not in order. You have heard of those who have a mental disorder? Well, this is what the Lord sees in his body. And not until this body is put into order will he rest his head. He asked this question to the church. Do you love me enough to submit to the order so that I may rest my head once for all? Will you come out of your diversive or divisive ways and isolated surroundings and join together with those I have chosen to be the shoulders of my body? Will you allow the governmental ministry to have its full strength in your lives? What is governmental order? This is the fivefold ministry spoken of in Ephesians 4:11-13. Many who are selfish, deceived, self-righteous have dismissed this ministry for a, quote, higher governmental authority, but no such claim can be true. For the word tells us that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor are for the perfecting of the church and will be utilized by God until we all come into the unity of the faith unto a perfect man. Since this man cannot be seen, but is still a shadow, we must give place to the Holy Spirit's operation through these fivefold ministries. Sit the people down. It is time to sit the people of God down and teach them apostolically the doctrine of Christ. General Reader's Digest teachings have been distributed in place of true spiritual teachings that bring about a reformation of the heart. The tickling of the ears teachings has produced little to no fruit. Look back to see how true apostolic doctrine influenced the early believers. Read Acts 3 and 4 and see the unity of the Spirit in those believers. See in Acts chapter 5 the seriousness of walking in truth and how those who did not were punished immediately. See the people of one heart and one mind. See the order of true government as the apostles give themselves to prayer and reading of the word, seeking guidance and instruction for the church. This is what the church needs today, not just miracles, signs, and wonders. This is not to say that miracles, signs, and wonders have been done away with, but we will find that as the body is properly informed and set, that many sicknesses and diseases will begin to fade. When the Holy Spirit places a member in the body, it is to function as enabled by the Spirit. The arm is not to function as the ear, or vice versa. There is a great need in believers today to know their function and calling. The church has been stripped and made naked by the false gospel that has gone forth in the name of Jesus, but has denied the Christ message, which is a powerful, life-changing message. We have, for some part, preferred the philosophical age to the age of truth and righteousness. In many ways, we have become like the Greeks of old who discussed, disputed, argued, and finally found that true Christianity was a foolish thing. What is so foolish about true Christianity? That it can make one perfect? That is what seemed so impossible to these make-believe wise men who were wise in their own eyes. And we have many in the church today that think to be perfect is a foolish notion. What was more amazing to these Greek philosophers was the way in which one was made perfect. It was through the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in his power to save to the uttermost. It is through the cross that Christians are made perfect. This was ridiculous to proud men who thought of life as but a dream or some time frame to play the dirge. In fact, these very wise men were heading straight down the path that leads to destruction, and because of their pride were blind to the reality of their need of the Savior of the world and perished accordingly. It is time for the fruitless branches in the Lord's tree to bear fruit, not just a little fruit, but a hundredfold fruit. This tree of the Lord bore 30-fold fruit 2,000 years ago, which we call the first fruit, and 60-fold fruit during the last 1,000 years through what we have called the latter rain. But now the tree is bringing forth a 100-fold through the prophets who called the early and the latter rain coming together at the same time. This is what the seventh day and the third day are all about. These 2 days are prophetic rain days that possess the power and anointing to bring all things to fullness. This is seen in the number 10, which is a combining of 3 and 7. This number 10 signifies redemption, which is the Greek word lutron. This word is found in Ephesians 3 times, in chapter 1, verse 7 and 14, and also in chapter 4 and verse 30. The word means to fully undo, fully release, fully set free, fully melt away every stronghold, fully dissolve every yoke, fully destroy every bondage. This word is not a passive word, but one that speaks of kingdom impact. What is that going to finally destroy and execute the judgment written against the powers and principalities? It is the church, militant and triumphant. Where is the church to rule from? The throne of God. We are seated with Christ far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. We are seated with him in heavenly places. These words for 2 millenniums have been futuristic in thought and experience, but now is the time for their reality to shine forth like the brightness of the noonday sun. The Lord says, "Can you not sense it? Can you not feel the presence of my Spirit drawing closer and closer to you? Have I not said in my word that times of refreshing are coming from my presence?" Many of the saints are even now being refreshed by the presence of God that is coming nearer and nearer to them. The nearness is not coming from without, but an inward thrust of divine glory is being released and pushed into the forefront of the man made in the image and likeness of God. This divine presence has made its way through the corruptible, destructible, and decaying nature of a fallen humanity. This divine presence is coming forth out of earthen vessels. This is the true treasure that was written by the Apostle Paul, who said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." What is that treasure? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is this divine presence? Is it not the divine nature breaking forth through a people in the earth? Is not this divine nature the inheritance of the saints? Decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. Even as I have spoken my words into the earth, so shall they come to pass. Every time you see the phrase, "and it came to pass," or "it shall come to pass," know that it has and it shall. And I finalize this word, the river is flowing. The river of God is flowing into a people that have thirsted for his presence and healing power. According to Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel 47, there is a river that carries with it the supernatural ability to heal and make alive all that comes into contact with it. This river is specially designed by God for the third day church living in the seventh day. In the Amplified Bible, the vision speaks of a double river that flowed. This is the prophetic double portion that has been mentioned for many years now. To all in whom this river has flowed, a new perspective, a new understanding has arose. The understanding of the third day and the seventh day is opening the eyes of God's people everywhere. The seventh seal that is being opened in the church is the perfect understanding of the Christ of this new day. In Ezekiel's vision, this river was seen flowing into the Dead Sea, or the Dead Sea of humanity, quickening and making alive the life force within. There were many trees on either side of the river. However, in the Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, we see a river flowing through the midst of the street and a tree, which is the tree of life. The shift, or the paradigm adjustment necessary at this time, is exactly that, a shift from many trees to one tree. We are told in Scripture that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. New Testament theology has changed from many trees to one tree, and that tree is Christ, who is life. The reality is that the tree of life is us. We, the branches, are connected to the vine, and all the branches in this tree bear fruit and produce healing medicines in its leaves. According to Ezekiel's vision, the many trees all bore fruit each month, and their leaves, each tree, were for the nations. In the Revelation, there is the one tree bearing its fruit every month, and the leaves of this tree are for the healing and restoration of the nations. The picture we get is that the nations have been sick, the nations have been broken through divine justice and judgment. However, this tree yields the necessary ingredients for renewed life. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a river flowing. That river is the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, Jesus made it very clear that there would be a river that would be established, and that river is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God is the river. You want to see miracles, signs, and wonders? Let the river flow. Let the river go. It's the Holy Spirit that carries the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit that carries the miracle. It's the Holy Spirit that has all the graces of God contained within it. The Holy Spirit contains the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is the river of God that must flow to the ends of the earth, but that river must flow out of the temple, out of the temple, out of the house. I want to refer to a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 10. This is so important for this moment. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 10. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. Now, think about that. God's telling the prophet Ezekiel, I want you to show the house my house, God's house. I want you to show them what my house looks like, and I want you to show my house to the house of Israel that they may be ashamed. Why? They would be ashamed of their iniquities because what the house of Israel had become was way short of God's intention for his house. The house of Israel was God's house, but that house had fallen so short of what God intended it to be. So he tells the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel, go show the house to the house of Israel. Show them the glory of my house, what my expectations are. Show them what my standard is, so that they might be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. Let them see the way it's supposed to be. Verse 11, and if they be ashamed. Now, this is like God telling the church, you know, send the prophetic reality to the church today and show the true church, the true house of Christ, the true house whose house we are. In Hebrews chapter 3, we are the house of Christ, okay? So as his house, we are to resemble what he's looking for. We're to be built according to his desire. And so it would be like God saying to the prophets today, go show the house to the house church, to the house of the church. Now, if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof and the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof and all the forms thereof and all the ordinances thereof and all the forms thereof and all the laws thereof. And write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinance thereof and do them. So in other words, show them the house, show them the form if they are ashamed of what they have become. And if the church would be ashamed of what it has become, an organized religious system debating itself, eating itself, fighting itself, beating itself, if the church would be ashamed of what it has become, then the pattern would be revealed to them. Now, what is the pattern of the church in the New Testament? Because it's not a religious pattern. It's not a house made with bricks and mortar. The pattern is Christ. Jesus Christ is the pattern. He is the representation of what the house is to look like. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the chief cornerstone. The foundation of this house is through the apostles and prophets. And this house has been being built up for 2,000 years. And eventually, the prophet Zechariah said that they're going to shout to the capstone, grace, grace. The capstone is Jesus. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the chief cornerstone and the capstone. He is the first and the last, but we are his house. And if we would be ashamed for what we look like in the mirror of God's word, when we measure ourselves to the pattern, not the pattern of your denomination, not the pattern of your pastor, not the pattern of any man, but you are to judge yourself by the pattern, which is Jesus Christ. Our measuring ourselves to the pattern, and that is so clear in the Word of God, in the New Covenant, that Jesus is the pattern son. Your life must conform to his image. My life must conform to his image. I must be reformed until I become like his form. And then in verse 12, this is the law of the house. You want to know the law of the house? Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And so show the house to the house. I want to show Christ to the body of Christ. I want to show Christ to the body of Christ because the body of Christ must become like Christ. And this can only happen through the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But there are many false prophets, many false apostles, many false teachers that are bringing the house into ill repute. They are not building according to the pattern. And that's all it takes to be a false prophet, a false apostle, is to guide people away from what God desires and intends. And God's desire for the fivefold ministry is none other than to have that fivefold ministry take each member of that house and build it up into the likeness of the pattern. That's it. You say, okay, well, this is amazing. On the one side, in the world, all this chaos and confusion, politics, government, abortion, lesbianism, homosexuality, transgenderism, blasphemy, pornography, sexual revolution, cursing, swearing, lying, stealing, cheating, jealousy, anger, envy, gossip, slander, backbiting, accusation. I mean, the world. And then in the midst of it, on this earth, God is talking to you and God is talking to me about his intent, his purpose, and his plan. All right, what I would like to do is open the telephone lines right now. The number to call, 818-369-0326. It's 15 minutes until we're going to have to wrap things up over here. What are you thinking? What are you hearing? Maybe you were listening to some of the things I was reading, and they, you know, maybe you heard something and you got stuck with that and you want to know something. Let's talk. What is this conversation all about? What is the third day? What is the seventh day? Maybe somebody wants to ask that question. You know, we want to have an open forum here, and that's why we give that number, 818-369-0326. And all you have to do to ask your question or make a comment or add to the mix or maybe share something that we need to know right now that we're not privy to is press 1 on the dial pad. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. What are you hearing? You're listening. You're tuning in. But what are you hearing today? What are you hearing in the message that we are sharing today? And again, that number is 818-369-0326. I hope that I am presenting a balanced message to the body of Christ. I know that one day I'm going to give an account for everything I have said and everything I have done. I know that it is a fearful thing to become a minister of the gospel. According to James, the teachers get the double condemnation. So I need to make sure that what I'm relaying and presenting to you is right. You know, there is a spirit of legalism. There is a spirit of condemnation that, you know, forces people into something that is not intended by God. But there is also a spirit of grace that brings people to that perfected state. Let's take our first call coming in this morning from area code 479-238. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, Pastor, I think you can sum it up real quickly where it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think everything you said, that was summed up right there.
Amen to that. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that hope and that glory are intended by God to literally manifest in the body, in his house.
That's correct. That's correct.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why he came.
That's why he came. Amen to that. You know, that is such a right thing to say. Why did Jesus come? He came to forgive us our sins. Do you all recall that the real purpose in the first place that Christ came into this earth, the very first real reason why he came was to establish a new covenant with the house of Israel? Did you know that? Why? Because if you read the book of Hebrews, the new covenant with the house of Israel was God's covenant with them to be merciful to their unrighteousness and to remember their sins and iniquities no more. And the only way, now that was in Jeremiah, but it's also in the book of Hebrews, the only way that God could establish this new covenant with the house of Israel was to send the Son to die on the cross to release the promise of this new covenant, to be merciful to their unrighteousness, to forgive them for their sins and iniquities, so that they would no longer carry the guilt, shame, and condemnation of having broken the laws of God. And so the new covenant was ratified in the blood of Jesus. He was the grace. He was the mercy. He was everything to the house of Israel so that they can be relieved from the condition that they were in. And then God could invite them into a new covenant established upon better promises, a covenant that God made with himself and actually was ratified with Abraham. We could talk about that. And then the Gentile world was also invited to come in as well. So I think you bring up an excellent point. Any further thoughts?
Nope. I think you summed it up perfectly.
All right, brother. Thank you for the call. We appreciate you. The lines are open, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. and we'll bring you into this wonderful conversation. I think, you know, the new covenant is so powerful. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir. Yes.
Good morning.
Concerning the governor in Virginia, I heard this morning on Fox Radio that the people there in that particular state, they've asked him to resign because of this, that he signed the bill for the abortion at full term. And also the lieutenant governor has also been put on the line for something that had to do with some sexual thing. And so the people are rising up and they're saying, just resign and get out. And now there's so much going on in the political realm throughout America that I believe that people need to take that kind of a stand.
Well, amen to that. Absolutely. And that's one of the, that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the broadcast, is what are the people to do? To get angry, to debate, to throw rocks out the window or whatever? You know, that's not the answer. So what is the solution to the pollution that's being presented within our society? What is the answer? What can we do? And I know everybody resorts to prayer, but prayer, there's got to be an answer. And what is the answer for the ecclesia today, the church, the called out ones, to respond? And yes, the people in these states, the people in these cities, you know, what are they to do? You know, eventually somebody would have said, you know, stop paying your taxes. Don't give any money to taxes. And that'll resolve the issue, but you know that people probably won't do that for fear of going to jail or some other reason. But I think that's the money source that would dry things up. But I think people would be terrified to promote such an idea because that would mess with their comfort zone.
Well, that's true. But we ourselves are not from this particular state, and we have gone to and been lobbyists and that, and you could talk to your senators, your state senators, and your representatives, and they'd like to hear what you have to say. And I think that's been neglected, but see, people got to put an effort forth to do that, and they will listen to their constituents. Some of them will, but I believe that could be one of the other ways to get this thing turned for the people's sake in this country, especially with this thing, abortion.
All right, very good. Well said. You know what I was thinking while you were talking about that? All the effort that is actually put forth into these political things that are going on, and yet you have to imagine the exertion of divine energy to change our hearts and minds from sinner to saint, and how God would change us from an old creation species to a new creation species, how God would take us from the old nature to the new nature. I mean, the divine energy being exerted in our lives, and we need to be walking in agreement with the Spirit of God that His desire and design for you and I as members of His body would be underway. Because I have to believe that there are people on this planet, little grandmas and janitors and bus drivers and CEOs and, you know, all kinds of people everywhere, black, red, yellow, white, brown, people everywhere that are submitting to the divine energy of the Holy Spirit to bring a transformation of their own life into the image of the firstborn son, because that has meaning to God. He wants us to rise to the pattern. Now, as we exert energy into this political arena, because as the church, we don't want to see these evil things in our society. We desire to bring transformation, to be salt and light, to shout out from the rooftops, to condemn what is happening. But then somebody has to do something. And this is what we're looking for. What is it that we are supposed to be doing at this time? The number to call is 818-369-0326. And what you need to do to get into the broadcast is press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the program. And we're just talking about it and what it is that we need to do. We must find the solution and the answer. And yet, right here, in the context of our own hearts, a change is going on. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 858. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. What a wonderful ministry of hope. It was.
Can you speak a little closer to the microphone? A little closer.
Yes,
can't hear you.
Right now, can you hear me?
You have to go a little bit louder. You're going to have to speak into that microphone.
Okay, hold on one moment, please. See where we're at.
Okay, give it a shot. Go ahead.
How about now?
All right, that should work.
Okay, excellent. What I wanted to present are a couple of scriptures that define the experience of what is happening in this world and in our nation right now. And we should not be surprised because we are in the last days. Not the latter days, the last days. And it says in the King James Bible and also other interpretations that because iniquity shall abound, listen to that, iniquity shall abound. And that meaning is as in that has not changed. The love of many shall wax cold. So what we're seeing in the hearts of these political operators is that their love has waxed cold. And this is coming from the left. And that love that is waxing cold has been prophesied to happen when you will abort a baby in full term or abort a baby at all. Unless there is something very serious beyond our own understanding. However, what we are witnessing now has been prophesied to be and to happen. And also, regarding the circumstance of what their desires are, the leftists bring death to as many as possible by not allowing the rebirth. As you diminish the population, you have greater control. This is definitely a one world order agenda. So we have both working together right now. And that's why we will see what we are seeing. And it's a spiritual warfare between the spirits of darkness and the spirits of light.
Which brings that prophetic reality of the spiritual battle that you're talking about. And this is how you're saying that the solution to this problem is a praying church being equipped with divine power for the pulling down of strongholds, would speak to the principalities and powers in the spiritual realm and condemn their...
We are to execute the judgment. And by doing that through the word of God, bring forth the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to take down every evil. And we are capable of doing it because we have been granted the authority to do so through our Lord Jesus Christ, when he has given us his word, which says, I have given you the authority to pull down strongholds, to cast out devils. And now when we consider the situation of who we're really fighting, we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting demons, demonic presence in high places, and that are in working against the truth of God's love. However, they are being backed by evil presence. So we fight that, not flesh and blood. That is true warfare of the fiendish kind. And we're not
all right,
seeing
very good.
It.
Yeah, very good. Excellent comments. Unfortunately, we have run out of time today. We want to pick up this conversation as we go. I would just leave it to our listeners today. I'm sure you're going to watch the State of the Union. Most likely, most people will. What are you going to look for in there? Be praying. people, for the President of the United States to stand up and do some amazing things tonight and not condescend or not yield to a spirit of Jezebel. We're going to talk about her tomorrow. Till we meet again, I'm Pastor Vince. God bless you. 24/7 on Omega Radio continues right now.